morning and want to turn with us, we'll be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. Desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us and realize and understand that I can't do anything without Him and need His help today. None of us can do anything without Him. Appreciate all your prayers for us this week, both in traveling and in preaching, both spiritually and physically. The Lord touched us and helped us, and voice did pretty well, especially the latter portion of the week. It got seemed like the Lord allowed it to get stronger and stronger, and feel like my voice is pretty good this morning. Breathing's a little labored, but that's okay. The Lord knows about all of that as well, and He'll help us. I trust that You'll pray for us this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14. When you found your place, if you're physically able, willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture and story, account, record, however you want to call it, that we'll read into your hearing this morning. But this is where our heart is, and pray that the Lord will help us to be a help to you this morning. Matthew's Gospel 14 and verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Read these verses here in the Gospel of Matthew, and we all know about this story. It's the only miracle, most of us already know this, but it's the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. And we read in the beginning here, in verse number 13, the Bible said when Jesus heard of it, the "it" that He's talking about is the martyring of John the Baptist by Herod the king. And we all know about that story and how John preached to him that it wasn't lawful for him to have his brother's wife, and she got angry, and the daughter pleased the king, and he asked her what she wanted. He would give her up to half the kingdom, and she went to her mother and asked her for advice on what to get, and the mother wasn't interested in her daughter obtaining anything. Her mother was interested in taking revenge on the man of God. And so she conspired with her daughter to go in and ask for the head of John the Baptist on a silver charger. And so it happened. The Bible said that the disciples came and took up the body of John and buried it. And then the Bible said when Jesus heard of it, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. In Mark's Gospel, the Bible records that He constrained His disciples also to come apart with Him and rest a while. It's an important thing to mention that in these days that we're living in the trouble and the turmoil and the trials that we all face, spiritual rest is a very important thing for the people of God. I'm glad the Bible reminds us in the book of Hebrews that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I'm glad that we can find rest. The Apostle Paul said that though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And I'm grateful this morning for that rest. But in reading the story and reading the account of the Word of God, the Lord knew that when they got in the desert place, it didn't catch Him by surprise. The Bible said that when all the people heard that the Lord was leaving where He was and going apart to the other side by sea, that they ran thither on foot and outwit them and received Him joyfully on the other side. The Lord did not, it did not catch Him by surprise that there would be no rest over there. He knew that the disciples would be serving the people. He knew that they would need to be fed. But I believe in my personal opinion, the way that the Lord has spoke to my heart, that the Lord took this long time in the lives of the disciples and reminded them once again who He was and what He could do. Can you imagine how that the disciples felt? They've been around this man, John the Baptist. He's the forerunner of Christ. He came preaching to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He baptized the Lord, the manifestation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost on the earth was there present. And now because of His preaching, He's lost His life. And can you imagine how low the disciples are thinking it's fixing to happen to all of us too? Many times the disciples and Jesus were put in a place with Jesus preaching that the religious crowd of that day would seek to arrest Him and put Him to death. But it was not yet His time. But yet they're flesh, they're human, they do not understand that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for them. All they can see at this moment in their life is that John the Baptist, this great preacher that came out of the desert, has lost his life for preaching the gospel. And they're worried. And they're afraid. And they're brokenhearted. And they're discouraged. And they're down and out. And the Lord says, come apart and rest a while. But there is no rest to be found. But they get over yonder to where they are going. And this multitude's there. And they begin to preach to them again. The Lord begins to speak with them until the evening comes. And the disciples say, it's a desert place. There's nothing here for them to eat. Send them away that they can find food to eat and then return and we'll carry on. The Lord says, there's no need to send them away. You give them to eat. And the disciples say, what's He talking about? How are we supposed to feed them? One of them spoke up in one of the other Gospels. I'm trying to get where I feel like I need to be this morning. You just bear with me for a minute. But one of the disciples said, 200 penny worth of bread, it's not sufficient that they may all have just a little. But they began to examine what's in the money bag and what they might could do. And they find themselves to be insufficient, what they have to be insufficient, to even come close to meeting the need of all these people. 5,000 men besides women and children. We say, we call it, and I'm not falling out with anybody, it's just become common language. We call this miracle the feeding of the 5,000, but it's probably more like 15 or 20,000 that are on the hillside that day. And the disciples say, what we have cannot be used. We cannot help this people. Have you ever felt like in your life, what you have is not sufficient?
Now, I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm not talking about what the Lord's done for you, but what He's asking of you, your service to Him, what you feel you have to offer, what you feel you have to give. You feel like, Lord, it'll never make a difference. It'll never touch anybody. It won't make nobody give any help to anybody. I can't do it, Lord. And the Lord says, well, what do you have? He glanced away from their money. He's not interested in their money. And by the way, I want to say this morning, I don't know why I'm on this right here, but I want to say the Lord's not really impressed by how much you put in the offering plate. I know it's scriptural that we ought to tithe on what the Lord allows us to make. He gives it to us anyway. And that's our obligation and that's our duty. And according to the Word of God, if you don't, then you're a God robber. And I know that that's not popular preaching in this day. But if we withhold from God, we're robbing Him. And in reality, we're robbing ourselves more than we're robbing God. He'll bless you for putting in. And we talk about tithes and offerings. Every now and again, the Lord will stir your heart to go above and beyond. One old preacher said 10% is what we're commanded to give, and that's our duty. But if we really want to show God we're interested and we love Him, we ought to go above and beyond the 10 and just try Him out. And if you ever try Him, He'll never come short in your life. The Lord wasn't interested in their money. He was interested in them. He said, what do you have? And they said, there's a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Is what one of them said. In the scripture we read here, they said, we have but 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. In one of the other Gospels, they said, we have no more than 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Do you see what the picture is? Do you see the pattern? What they're saying is, what we have don't matter. It can't be done. What we have to offer cannot help these people. In Matthew's Gospel, we could have read from Mark, Luke, or John and got the same account, the same story, but the Holy Ghost put it in the heart of Matthew. He's the only one that pens this response by the Lord. But when they say we only have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, they're no good, Lord. They'll not help. And in the midst of it all, Jesus replies, bring them to me. And last night in the chair, we got in, you know, in the evening, and I'm just being honest with you. My mind was racing and preached all week, and I'm not complaining about that at all. And others might understand. I felt so empty and so drained, and I thought, Lord, my chief responsibility is to feed the sheep you put me over. And I've been preaching to everybody else, and now it's come time to preach to them. And I don't have anything to give. And the Lord said, just bring it to me. What you have, just bring it to me. And so I want to preach this morning on bringing all to Him. It don't matter what you have or don't have. Just bring it all to Him. You say it's just a little. I want to say bring your little and bring it all to Him. Little is much when God's in it. I've seen it come to pass. I've seen it to be so. Just bring it all to Him. They said, Lord, we got these little. Now, if you study the Scripture, the response by the disciples is worth noting. It's worth understanding what they were saying. They were being negative without really wanting us to know they were being negative. But they were some of the most pessimistic, negative people in all the Word of God. They said, not only is it not enough, but they said, we've got 5 barley loaves. You're the Lord. And if you deserve anything, you deserve the best. And He does. I'm not saying He don't. He does. But what they were saying is, this is barley loaves. This is common people's bread. And I'm sure you don't want it. How many times have you sit in the congregation and the Lord, I know I've been gone and I've not come back to beat on you. I've come back to help you. And I believe the Lord's want me to help you. And I believe He'll let me this morning if you'll let Him. How many times have we sit in the congregation and the Lord said, why don't you stand and say something for me? Why don't you stand and just say, I'm glad I'm saved. And you say, Lord, it's just barley. It's just common people's bread. I can't testify like somebody else. He's not interested in you testifying like somebody else. He wants what you have. Just bring it to Him. The lad could have kept his lunch. Bible said we got a lad here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2, not just 2 fishes, but 2 small fishes. And the way I understand it, this was enough for one boy. One little lad. And to call him a lad, he had to be less than 13 years old. In Jewish custom, over 13 was considered to be a man. And so he's just a little boy, and he's got enough for him. And the reality is, what is that among 5,000 men besides women and children? And he could have kept it to himself. And it might have helped him. It would have fed him. It would have nourished him. His mama gave it to him. It really deserved. It was made for him, meant for him. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord saved you. He meant it for you, and you can keep it to yourself if you want to. But if He had kept His lunch, there'd have been thousands went hungry. And I'm telling you this morning, if you keep what you have to yourself, others may go hungry. And the Lord said, just bring it all to me. Just bring it all to Him. You say, well, it ain't much. Well, 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed 5,000 men besides women and children. Who'd have thunk that just that little bit, God would want it. Not just that He would want it, He could use it. And not just that He could use it, but that He could use it in the manner He used it in. You understand what I'm telling you this morning? I know Him down on the inside, and that's part of our humility, and it's a good thing to have. But we can over-criticize sometimes about ourselves, about our ability, about what God's called for us to do. And we'll say He don't want it. He does want it this morning. And you say, well, if He wants it, He can't use it. He can use it this morning, and you'll be surprised what He can do with it. Just bring it all to Him. Who would have thought a little rock in a little sling with a little boy who was a shepherd boy and all his brothers were soldiers, and they criticized him too and said, why are you here? It's just the naughtiness of your heart. You just want to feel good, feel big, feel strong, and be in the battle. But God used a little boy and a little rock and a little sling and to kill the giant, and He can do it for you if you'll give it to Him. All them other boys, they had swords and shields and spears and helmets and armor, and God could have used that. But the reality was they didn't give it to Him. But old David come and they tried to give him something that wouldn't work. He said, I've never proved this. And I'm telling you this morning, stick with what you know. Don't go with something that's been unproven. Don't try to be like somebody else. Saul tried to make him like him, but that wasn't God's plan. God wanted David to be like David. And He said, I'll use these and prove these. But He said, I got a little strip, I got a little sling, I got a staff, and I'll get a rock, and God will do the rest. Who'd have thought that a little old ruddy boy who was overlooked, who was in the sheepfold, sent down there to do nothing more than to take some cheese and bread and some parched corn to his brothers, who would be the one that would step out on a battlefield against a giant over 9 foot tall and take him to the ground. And you say, how do you do that? Little as much when God's in it. How could God take a nearly empty barrel of meal and a nearly empty cruise of oil, and not only feed a widow, but feed her son and the man of God? You say, I can't give what God has put on my... And I'm not preaching this morning because of what the Sunday school lesson is. I want to clear that up. I sit there most of the morning with my head down because it bothers me. Not it bothers me in a bad way, but I try to stay humble. And I know I lack it sometimes, but I'm nothing and a nobody. But I'm going to tell you what. If God's telling you to do do something. I feel like all I got this morning is a few barley loaves and some fish. But I'm feeling pretty good in my heart because little's much when God's in it. You say, well, all I got's a handful of meal in the barrel, little old. In the cruise, ain't nobody going to want that. Nobody else may not, but God does. He's the only one I know that really wants what nobody else wants. And it's amazing to me. And I sure am glad because most churches wouldn't want me. Most conventions wouldn't want me. Most preachers wouldn't want me. Most people wouldn't want me. But I'm glad God does. I know I ain't got much, but I got what He wants this morning. And so do you. And just give it all to Him. Bring your little and say, preacher, I can't drum up all that stuff like other people can. I'm not asking you to. I'm saying, what do you have? The Lord asked them. He didn't say, go out and search. He said, right now, speak from your heart. Speak what you know. What do you have? And they said, well, Lord, we'd like to go out and find some more. He said, that ain't what I asked. What do you have? Does anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? The Lord's not asking you, and it's good if you want to go home, and you ought to, and pray and say, Lord, if you call me to testify or do something, would you fill my mouth? You ought to pray that way. But He's not asking you. If He's touching your heart to do something this morning, He's not asking you to go home and think about it all day and come back tonight. He's asking, what do you have right now? You say, well, I guess I could muster up a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruise, just bring it to Him. You say, I guess I'd round up a few barley loaves of just common people's bread, and I stammer and stutter over what I say, and I don't really know the words to use. Don't worry about all that. Just bring it all to Him. I believe that's right. Bring your little to Him. But then I want to say this morning, I just got three things. What's on my heart, the way the Lord put it there. And so I'm going to preach it how He gave it to me. I'll bring your little to Him. But if you're here this morning, you're under a load. He says, bring your load to Him. I'm not talking about loaded down, feeling good and proudful about yourself. But I'm talking about being bent down under a heavy load, carrying a burden, feel like it's going to stuff you out, and the load's bigger than you can bear, and you can't walk another mile. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Bring it all to Him.
Yes, yes.
Peter said we could cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. There's a few words in that verse I want to highlight, and I ain't going to go deep because it is deep, but it ain't deep. The first word is to cast. That word means you got to lose possession. The word literally means to roll on. I think that verse goes hand in hand with what Matthew penned of the words of the Lord in Matthew 11 when He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke's easy and my burden's light. It ain't the fact, Justin, we could shout. I could this morning, I think, to know that His yoke's easy and His burden's light, that I can have His. But there's more to it than just getting His. He wants you. That word means to roll on. What it literally means is to take the load off of one beast and put it on another. And that's what the Lord was saying. He said, I'm here with this yoke that's easy and this burden that's light, and you're a struggling and a dragging your tracks out and bowed over to the ground. He said, come to me and we'll swap out this morning. He said, casting. Then He said, all. You say, what does that word mean? It means all. Every bit of it. Whether it's big to anybody else or not, it don't matter. Cast it all on Him. Whether you think tomorrow you might figure it out, I bet not. Don't take the chance. Just cast it all on Him. Or you say, well, I think I'd go a few more feet. He must know otherwise. And He's standing here this morning saying, bring it all to me. All of it. And your care, casting all your care. The word care it envelops anything you can think of this morning. If you're anxious about a situation, that's care. If you're troubled about a situation, that's care. If you're burdened down, don't know which way to go, that's care. If you feel like you can't go on, that's care. And He said, cast it all on Him. Just bring it all to Him. All your load. I've seen people walk into the church of God, bowed over and bent down. And I watched them leave a wholly different person than they were when they come in. It's kind of like that old man over there in the Gospels that he come in the temple and he was bent over and the Lord restored him and he went out a new man. I'm telling you, there's some of you this morning, I'm satisfied by the discernment of the Holy Spirit that you come in bent over and bowed down, your head's almost touching your feet because of the load of care that's on you. And you say, I don't know what to do. I'm telling you this morning, bring it all to Him. You can walk out looking at the sky. You say, it's been a long time since I looked up. I thought this week, while we was in the meeting, it come to my heart while I was preaching. I don't remember what I was preaching about, but I remember what I said. And it said, when you see these things in these dark days, when there's wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places and love of many has waxed cold and iniquities abound, her father and mother turned against children, children against their parents and all the like. He said, when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head and look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. But you may be so bent over and bowed down with care. You say, preacher, I can't get encouragement because I can't look up. I'm telling you this morning, the only way for you can get encouragement is to look up. David said, I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It's a pretty sad day when you can't look up. But I'm telling you this morning, you can if you bring it all to Him. Amen. All your load. All your little. But then I want to say this morning, I'm done. Why don't you bring your loved ones to Him? You say, I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried. I've tried to get them to come to church. And I've tried to tell them about the Lord. And I've tried to pray for them, and you ought to. You ought to do all them things. But you say, this morning, I just can't do it no more. Why don't you bring them to Him? They ain't just it you can bring to Him, but you can bring them to Him. I got over there and I got to reading through the Bible last night, and there's a multitude of people that the Scriptures say they brought them to the Lord. But there's one in particular that stuck out in my mind, and the Bible said that's when them four men got on the corner of that couch and they carried that man and they brought him to Jesus. You know why they did that? Because they couldn't help him. You know why they done that? Because they'd done all they knew to do, and it wasn't doing no good. But they said, the Bible said, they sought by what means they might bring him to Him. And I'm telling you this morning, you can bring it all to Him. Them loved ones you just ain't so sure about, you can bring them to Him. Them ones you need a little reassuring about, maybe it's been a long time since you've seen anything out of them, and you're wondering whether or not they got the goods or not. I'm not talking about being the judge. I'm talking about you just need some reassurance. You can bring it to Him.
Amen.
Them you know that's out in sin. Them you know, and it troubles your heart, and it ought to, that if he was to come back right now, or they were to get in their car and head down the road and not make it to their destination, they'd split hell wide open and they'd go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to bear that burden alone. You can bring them to Him.
That's right.
You say, but it looks so hard to get them there. The Bible said them four men brought that man to Jesus. And it said, when they could find no means whereby to get him to him for the multitude. I'm going to tell you this morning, don't you worry about anybody else. You just bring them to Him. Don't worry about who may be in your way. I'm not talking about when there may be somebody. If you're in the middle of the pew, you may feel like I can't get around somebody. Oh, they'll let you out. Don't worry about them. But don't worry spiritually. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what they say. I just get them to Him. They didn't worry about the multitude. They didn't worry about the mountain. You say, there wasn't no mountain in that scripture. I beg to differ. Them four men carried dead weight up to the top of the house. But it didn't bother them. All they knew, oh, I'm sure it's hard work. Oh, I'm sure there's probably some sweat and maybe some tears. And there might have been a little bit of discouragement. I don't know. I'm just reading between the lines. There's four of them. And when they got there and the crowd was there, one of them might have said, well, we tried, but we can't get them there. Thank God for somebody in the back corner that said, don't give up. We can still get him there somehow. And I'm telling you this morning, if you felt like you've tried, you've prayed, you've cried, you've sought, and done all you know to do, and it seems like you just can't get them there, I'll be the one in the back corner to say, don't give up now, just get them to Him.
Amen.
Don't worry about the mountain. And I wouldn't worry about what I had to move. I'm just preaching how He put it on my heart. I was sitting there in the chair last night and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, don't tell them not to worry about the mountain, not to worry about the multitude, and not to worry about what they got to move out of the way. The Bible said they broke up the tiling. It didn't matter to them. It meant more labor in the end. They thought we're going to have to fix this. But it didn't matter to them. All they cared about was getting that man to God.
Yes.
See, that sounds like a lot of work. It may be. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. He said, a woman, when her hours come, hath pain. And I'm not a woman this morning, but I've been in the hospital with all four of mine being born. And I can tell you, there's pain involved. But Jesus said, when the child is delivered, she forgetteth the pain for the joy that a child is born into the world. And I'm going to tell you, there may be some sleepless nights. There may be some meals pushed back from the table. There may be some heavy loads to bear. There may be some strong mountains to climb. There may be a lot of things you've got to move out of the way. But I'm telling you, if you ever get them to where the Lord is, and He does for them what they need, you'll forget all about that. The joy that's in your heart. And the songwriter said it like this, and I'm done. And those of you who know me enough probably knew there'd be some song lyrics in here somewhere. And I sat last night and listened to it. I don't know. My wife might could tell you. She probably knew what I was going to preach this morning because I'm bad to do that. When I get a thought that corresponds to a song, I'll play it over and over and over, and I listen to the words. And I did it four or five times last night, three or four this morning, and this is what the writer said. Just bring it all to Him. When you don't understand, just bring it all to Him. When troubles come against you and you feel so overwhelmed, when it seems the more you try giving, the more the storm it seems to swell, just bring it all to Him. It don't matter whether it makes sense to you or not. He's not asking. It didn't make sense to the disciples why He wanted five barley loaves and two small fishes, but they obeyed His command and brought it to Him. And so don't sit there this morning and wonder and try to make it all make sense. It probably won't. Why He'd want your little, why He'd want your load, or why He'd care about your loved ones. But I want to tell you, He does this morning. Why don't you just bring it all to Him? As we stand all over the house, with no doubt in my mind whatsoever,